This is Windy City Sports Talk, hosted by Will Hatzel. Windy City Sports Talk features all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears,
the Bear,
Bulls,
the Bulls,
Blackhawks, Cubs,
holy cow,
and White Sox.
You can put it on the board, yes!
It's time to talk Windy City Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Windy City Sports Talk. I'm Will Hatzel, and today on this podcast, we're going to be focusing on the Bulls and continuing my coverage of the preview coverage of the NBA Central Division. A couple of weeks ago, I had a good friend of mine, Yash Padian, who's a Cavaliers fan, got his outside perspective and thoughts on the Bulls, but also getting a little bit of a scouting report from him on what to expect from his Cavaliers team, which is pretty similar to the Bulls. They're both in their rebuilding phases. I don't know which team is actually kind of like where the Cavaliers are a little bit more than the Bulls just because of so many question marks. But today I have a good friend of mine, Cody Emerson, who is a Pacers fan. So he is always up to date with them. And I'm going to get his a little bit of a combination of his opinion and his outside view of our Chicago Bulls, but also to give us a little bit of a preview on what the Bulls can expect from one of their fellow rivals in the Pacers, a team that's been consistently making the playoffs, falling a little bit short, always kind of remind me of the 2011-2012 Bulls where everybody was getting hurt on the team and he just never really got a chance to see them at their full potential. And I'm sure Cody's going to bring that up today. And you can find us, by the way, too, on Beyond the Press Box. That's another podcast where Cody and myself join a couple of our old college buddies, Yash Petty and Zach Kyleman, and we talk all things MLB, NBA, NFL, everything going on in all the major sports and collegiate too. You can find that just everywhere you can find this podcast as well, and also on the Unhinged Sports Network where you can listen to our show and many others too. So I like to promote both Windy City Sports Talk and Beyond the Press Box, especially when I have the co-hosts on. You know, we separated one at a time here, but I got some other big plans coming up here to get them all on. But without further ado, let me bring in Cody now. Cody, thank you so much for joining. I think it's been a couple of months. I think last time you were on, we were talking basketball, but I think it was the Last Dance documentary, right?
I believe that's what it was. I know we've done some, you know, video game talk with NBA.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was, but it's been a while, but I mean, always appreciate the invite and just, you know, Pacers, it's been, got a new coach, so, I've been keeping tabs on some of our preseason games, but looking forward to informing your listeners about what you can maybe expect from the good old blue and gold.
Yes, and before we get right into that, and it'll be my honor to let you talk about the Pacers first here, since for you coming on again. But before we do that, as I always like to do with customary, I like to give all my guests the opportunity to tell a little bit about themselves so my listeners could go ahead and look up your work and follow you if you want them to follow you on social media and whatnot. So, Cody, tell everybody out there a little bit about yourself and the kind of work you do. You're another media nerd just like me.
Yeah, I'm a kind of a jack of all trades type of person. I work at the radio station in Crawfordsville, Indiana. I mean, have three radio stations that are owned by that. So do work on all three stations, kind of just a hodgepodge of a little bit of everything. Help out my boss with writing some orders for clients, putting in spots. We host a 5 o'clock report every day at 5 o'clock. I've kind of been getting guests from the community on there. So it's been fun. I do a little bit, like I said, a bit of everything there. You name it, I've probably done it there. And then also to add on to that, I cover sports for the Journal Review, which is a newspaper here also in Crawfordsville. It's honestly, we've been fortunate to kind of be allowed the access that we have been with everything going on and COVID related. We're still able to broadcast games on the radio. We're still like our athletic directors have given us, you know, full access to coaches, to players, to probably even practices if we wanted to go by practices. So sports is still going on here in Montgomery County and in Crawfordsville. I know I've been covering, had a game that I did just broadcasted last night on the radio. So I keep busy. I like to keep myself busy. I don't like to, you know, just lollygag around the house. So between the radio station and covering sports, I like to think that I stay busy.
Yeah, you are very busy, but like you said, it is good to stay busy. And also, hey, you know, this was like instilled into our heads when we were at Ball State, is that in today's day and age, if you're trying to work in this industry with all the different technologies and whatnot, you need to be versatile in, you know, radio, TV, even writing. I mean, writing, I know we don't think of newspapers and stuff that often anymore, but it's still a very integral part of broadcasting and journalism in general. So Cody, you are a great follow for and everything you do. I mean, you're a superstar down there in central Indiana, I would say, honestly. Proud alum.
Yeah, I mean, it's and even nowadays with radio specifically, I mean, we've been promoting the heck out of that because we have a little policy here in Indiana where athletes and coaches can only bring a certain member or a certain number of family members to the whether that'd be mainly for a basketball game, but so we've been really pushing radio broadcast and helping out people, you know, being able to listen to the game still at least, because not many people are, I'd probably say 50 or so people are at the games I've been at. So we're just trying to help out in any way we can. And no, I love doing it.
Yep. One of the many good reasons to have radio still around today too. Another media tool that everybody thought was going to die out like the newspapers, but not yet. There's still us out there that continue keeping that stuff within the industry and keeping it relevant. But hey, you know what? Let's get into this Pacers talk. There's not too many things that and I'm saying Bears here because the Bears and the Bulls, they're both bad, unfortunately. But and you know that, you hear me talk about the Bears a lot, but the Bulls don't have a lot of similarities with the Pacers. And more of a good thing for you as a Pacers fan over here than me with the Bulls, because the Bulls on one hand are kind of trying to find their identity. They're trying to, you know, rebuild and get to being a playoff contender. And on the other side here, with your Pacers, they have been making the playoffs. They've been a fun team to watch. I know they always fall a little bit short in the playoffs, but there's something there to build and grow on. And it seems like every year the Pacers do that with, you know, Victor Oladipo and company. But the one thing that the Bulls and Pacers do share a similarity with is they both are going into this season with new coaches. So Nate McMillan was fired. I know quite a few of my friends, you know, from Ball State are also fellow Pacers fans. And a lot of them were really calling for the Nate McMillan firing and moving on from him. And I believe you were too. So why don't we start with tell us a little bit about this coaching change and what do you think the new coach is going to bring in?
Yeah, we hired Nate Bjorkgren. I finally learned how to pronounce his last name. When I first heard it, I was like, how on earth? It's like Bjorgren or something like that. So I was like, how on earth do you pronounce it? And I've like to think I've gotten pretty good at it, but he was an assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors. Kind of Nick Nurse is starting to build his own mini coaching tree. So yeah, we parted ways with Nate McMillan. You talked about it, Will. He'd get us to the playoffs, but that's about it. Pacers fans have been accustomed to, you know, first round exits for quite a while. No, especially getting swept. I think Nate McMillan won maybe one playoff game in his career, but other times he was getting, or no, three, I believe, when we took the Cavs to seven games that one year. But those were the only games that he's won in his playoff career. The other times we've been getting swept. I think it's like a 3-12, 3-16 record McMillan had in the playoffs. So coaching change necessary. I wanted to see, now there have been some factors to that, obviously health, and I'll get into that in just a little later, but you wanted a new face, you wanted a new identity, And we brought in Bjorkren. I've been keeping tabs on these preseason games, and he wants to run. Fast. He wants to keep the game fast-paced. We're shooting a ton more threes already in the preseason, which I like, because you know what? That's the way the game's going. It started with Golden State, Houston. We've seen those teams, and if you can make a decent percentage of them, you'll definitely be up in the echelon in terms of the standings. And the Pacers, these last, I believe, four seasons, have been bottom three, bottom four. I think we're dead last this year, or this past year, in three-point attempts, or three-point attempts or made, or something like that. The three category was not kind to the Pacers. They kind of like that, you know, mid-range shot. They fell in love with that a little bit, and, you know, if you're going to take a mid-range shot, you might as well take it right under the basket because it's worth the same amount of points. It's a bit closer. Nate Bjorkren has really emphasized, you know, pace and the three-point game, and it's shown through our first two preseason games. I mean, both have been losses, but you don't buy any stock in the preseason games. Also, you know, TJ Warren's dealing with a bit of an injury right now and not at 100% health. I'm excited to really see where this team goes under Nate Bjorkren. I've tried to listen into a few of his press conferences every time on the Pacers app or website or whatever. I love what he says about the team, about coming to Indiana. So we'll see where he goes. But I know Pacer fans were really excited when we started to dive a bit more into what he was, his background, and what he wants to do with this team, because he has high hopes for him, and so do Pacers fans.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't come in with a long resume of being a head coach, again, specifically in the NBA, which could always be a little bit risky, but I think it's a smart move when you hire somebody that's got championship pedigree, that's got experience, whether they're an assistant or whether they've bounced around, you know, from the collegiate level to even the NBA here, you know, because I could say the same thing with the new Bulls head coach, Billy Donovan. The guy had a very long standing, impressive college career where he won a lot, very successful. And of course, you know, and when you are a college basketball coach, you know, results matter too. You got to get to the tournament. You got to make a deep run. You got to win or compete in your conference, you know, as well. So, and what the Pacers got is, I think, someone with a little bit more proven than McMillan in terms of having, you know, some winning experience. And not that he was a bad coach. I think you would take him over Jim Boylan, you know, 10 out of 10 times when asked that question, I'm sure. I think anybody would, even if you're not a Bulls fan, if you're just watching from, you know, being a fan of a different team. So I think, in terms of, it's one plus for both Pacers and Bulls here, is that their head coaching changes were pretty good. Another similarity, I guess you could say, between the two, and I'll ask you this about the Pacers, is it's kind of a quieter offseason, more of, the Bulls aren't going to be major players for free agents just yet. The Pacers, I would say, would have a better chance given their current situation. They didn't make any huge splashes, but they did re-sign a couple of players, key players, I would say, and they're kind of basically, which, and I don't mean to throw your own words out here, because I'll let you explain this here in a second as we lead up to it, but the Pacers, as you say, need to see what they have in their team right now with everybody on the court playing and not having to deal with injuries and having to plug in different guys. So it seems like that's what they're going to do, is they're going to run it back with the same, mostly the same roster from last year, in hopes of everybody coming back healthy and playing together. The only big rumor that was out there was potentially the Pacers acquiring Gordon Hayward, and I know you weren't a big fan on that. So curious, what were your thoughts on an offseason that was mostly quiet, but maybe for the better, would you say? What are your thoughts on their offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider it better off. I mean, and I don't have the exact starting or the exact number, but I've had the pleasure to talk with Pacers play-by-play announcer Chris Denari a few times on our show that we do at the radio station, and he said, I know it was fewer than 10, the amount of games are start what would be our starting five has played together, that they played together last year. We all know the Victor Oladipo injury. He came back late last year. Then, okay, congrats, you get him back. Now Malcolm Brogdon goes down with a knee injury. Then, okay, you get him back. Then you're pushing for the playoffs. Jeremy Lamb tears his ACL, who was a key bench player for us and a key free agent that we signed last year. So he goes down. Then, like I said, the Pacers are gearing for the playoffs and gearing up for the bubble. And Domantas Sabonis, who led us in points, rebounds last year, averaging a double-double, made his first All-Star game, gets plantar fascia as right as we're gearing up for the playoffs. So this starting lineup, and like you said, Will, just Pacers fans want to see what they have when this team is 100% healthy. And that has never really been the case. I mean, when we brought Brogdon in, we lose Victor Oladipo. And so I think this lineup, and I'll say this for certain, Malcolm Brogdon, Victor Oladipo, TJ Warren, and Sabonis all could score 20 points on any given night. Turner can. I mean, he's not. What I like about Miles Turner is he is not really. He's accepted his role. He realizes that he doesn't need to score 20, 25 points a night. He is an elite rim protector who can stretch the floor and extend the defense a little bit. So I like that he's kind of adjusted into his role. Then you obviously got Aaron Holiday, Jeremy Lamb. We re-signed Justin Holiday. And also Pacers, kind of a fan favorite type player. Everyone needs this type of energy player. And Jakar Sampson is that for the Indiana Pacers. I didn't know a whole lot about him when we brought him in last year, but he provides energy and kind of, you know, the Lance Stevenson type player for us. So, like you said, we really didn't go out and sign anyone. We just re-signed our guys. And, I mean, Kevin Pritchard, our president of basketball operations, has continually said he wants to see what this team can do when it's 100% healthy. Because is it going to compete for a championship? That's the goal. But, I mean, we'll see how far they can make it. I believe they can definitely make a top four seed and probably win a first round series. And that's progress with this team because we haven't had that. So I like the offseason of kind of staying pat, getting our guys healthy, and we're going to make a run with this squad at 100. Well, Jeremy Lamb will get back, I think, sometime in January from his torn ACL. But for the most part, we're going to run this back with everyone from last year and see where this goes, because that's what you really need to see before you make drastic changes to the roster.
You know, being that I'm a Bulls fan, you know, my outside looking in perspective to you would be that I agree with you, and I agree with the way the Pacers are doing this, because there's without a doubt, we know the Pacers are a competitive team. They may not have as much star power as other teams do, and it's not really their fault because everybody seems to flock to the biggest markets or flocks to go join, you know, LeBron James or Giannis Antetokounmpo or some of the other major stars, the other LA team with the Clippers too. So teams like that always seem to attract most of the other free agents or better supporting cast players. But to be fair, the Pacers, again, outside looking in perspective here, you know, the team is led by Oladipo. You know, Malcolm Brogdon, I'm still kind of surprised that the Bucks moved on from him, because he's a great two-way player, in my opinion. You know, maybe this wasn't the most thrilling offseason. Everybody loves when their team makes a big splash and hopes to get better, or then the anticipation for the next season, the start, is always ramped up because you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy in a Pacers uniform. I can't wait to see how he plays alongside Oladipo and TJ Warren and whatnot. That excitement may not be there, but a lot of that work was already done prior to last season, you know, acquiring TJ Warren, acquiring Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, TJ McConnell. The hope is here, I think, is that these guys, and even some other guys that have been there for a little bit longer, say like Doug McDermott, is the hope is everybody stays healthy.
Yeah.
Because you know, your starting five is going to lead the way. It's one of the best starting fives in not only the Central Division, but the Eastern Conference as a whole. I think the hope would be is that the supporting cast shows up. Like Justin Holiday could, you know, make some big shots. Doug McDermott, who is known to hit the three ball, maybe be a little bit more consistent with that and hit those impact shots. TJ McConnell was very impressive during his time in Philly, I think.
Yeah, he's another energy guy, too. Yeah. For us who
exactly. And Jeremy Lamb, too. You said he's coming back probably in January?
That's the latest that I've heard is maybe sometime mid to late January. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and that's another guy that could. Again, some of these guys aren't the flashiest players, but you fill them in as a support in a supporting cast role, they should be able to make some plays and make some kind of an impact. And again, with Lamb getting hurt in the middle of last season, you didn't really get to see a whole lot from him. So I think there's still a lot more he could prove. And to be fair, they give him some more games. So yeah, again, as a Bulls fan, I'm looking at your roster. I'm like, from the starting five to a couple capable guys that could fill in that six-man role. I mean, you got a good bench, good starting five. I mean, the Pacers, as long as they could stay healthy, I think they really do have a legitimate shot here. Now, I kind of want to flip this to the Bulls real quick. We'll flip-flop back and forth here. But the Bulls also didn't really have a splashy offseason. I mean, their biggest free agent signing was Garrett Temple, which isn't a bad signing for filling in depth, but nothing to really write home about. It's more of, okay, Coby White, you know, first year as it's looking like he's going to be the starting point guard. Hopefully Lauri Markkanen, who needs to prove it this year, is a little bit healthier. Again, Otto Porter Jr. coming off of a year where he hardly played because he was battling injuries. A lot of question marks to see this team too, you know, with all these young pieces and the Bulls are kind of at that point where they have to figure out who is really worth keeping around for the rebuild as they continue to go forward with it for the next couple of years. Who are the franchise foundational pieces? One would think it's Zach LaVine and Coby White. What about Lauri Markkanen? What about Otto Porter Jr.? Where does Chandler Hutchison, where does the new guy they drafted, Patrick Williams, where does he fit in? Who Patrick Williams has actually been pretty impressive in the first two preseason games, getting a lot of playing time, which is great to see too. So this is a young Bulls team with a lot of question marks. Most of the question marks, Cody, I would say, are with some of the veteran players like Zach LaVine, Otto Porter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, Coby White, Wendell Carter Jr., Patrick Williams. Those guys, they're still young. I think they deserve a little bit more time, hopefully with a better coaching staff and maybe some more playing time and a better game plan by Billy Donovan. Maybe they're going to succeed more. But from your outside looking in perspective as the Pacers fan, what do you think of this Bulls team?
Well, I've been saying this for a few years. I like what the Bulls are building. It's with young talent, like you mentioned, bringing in Coby White, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. If both of those guys and Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. live up to their potential, that can be a really dangerous front court for teams to have to deal with. I know Markkanen can stretch it out to three, and I think Carter can. He's starting to develop a three-point shot. Am I right in saying that, Will?
Yeah, he can shoot, and he's actually a better offensive player than people give him credit for, because Jim Boylan really liked to keep him in that defensive rebounding mode where when he was at Duke, he was able to hit shots. And I remember looking at his college tape after he got drafted. Yeah, he could hit mid to long range jumpers. And I'm like, whoa, this is pretty impressive for a big man. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. He does have that capability. It's just, is the coach going to allow him to do that?
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of where I've seen this team is I think they need a veteran coach who has been around the block a time or two, and Billy Donovan most certainly has, and they need a veteran coach to kind of lead these young guys. And I really, we were messaging back and forth in our group chat that we got with Yash, Zach, you and me, and I sent that to you guys, and I said, I love that signing of Billy Donovan. I don't believe he should have been let go in OKC. I mean, because that OKC team was projected to be one of the worst teams in the league, and he turned them into a playoff. And almost, no, they did make the playoffs, I believe. So, yeah. I mean, the work he did with that team alone is impressive. And I was surprised when he let go. And then when he said he's signing to be the Chicago Bulls coach, I was like, that is what this team needs, is to a veteran coach who can show, can take Kobe White, can take, a Carter Jr., a Lowry Markkanen, and show them what it, to unlock their full potential. I think that's the key, is they've shown flashes, but the inconsistencies have been there. And with a veteran coach like Billy Donovan, I just think he will start to unlock a lot more things. I mean, Kobe White's one of the fastest people in the NBA. He'll take it, and all I see is the blob of his afro bouncing up and down the court. I think he's an exciting player to watch. Then obviously Zach LaVine, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league. Zach LaVine is kind of, been a really good leader for you guys. So we'll see how he goes from here.
Now, I know it's always way too early to probably ask this, but I always love doing these questions and having these conversations. You know, I was a fool last year thinking that with Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, who was at least better at the time, or, we thought he was better than where he was. It was just him being injured the year prior that kept him from growing and developing a little bit more. But there's been the optimism for Lauri Markkanen has kind of turned into criticism, and people are running out of patience with him. And it is a little bit worrisome that he hasn't taken a few more strides to be a supposed franchise player, and, put quotations around franchise. So, looking at this roster, I think they have the perfect blend of some veterans, your main pieces of LaVine being around the block, Otto Porter Jr., who, if he can stay healthy, I think he can make a real big impact. We haven't seen that because of the freaking injuries. I mean, the Bulls, I feel like ever since the Derrick Rose days, there's always some kind of injury cloud hovering over the United Center, and it drives me nuts. But last year, I thought they could make the playoffs with that setup. I think it's a better roster this year in terms of the younger guys have another year under their belt, and some of these guys, they're promising players. Like, you brought up Wendell Carter Jr., for example. Patrick Williams looking good as a rookie. Do you think the Bulls have, and again, an Eastern Conference where it seems like the top four teams are really solid, but then the final four playoff spots, fifth through eighth, is always kind of a toss up, and even like the eighth seeds going to a freaking team that doesn't even finish with above 500 record, or a 500 record for that matter. Do you think the Bulls, with this roster and now with a proven coach and Billy Donovan, do you think they have a chance to make the playoffs, even if it's like the eighth seed?
I'd say there's a chance. I mean, and that's kind of where, I mean, I kind of compare it to the early, or a few years ago, with the Pacers, with just getting into the playoffs and experiencing what playoff basketball is like for a lot of young guys. So I think, there's definitely a chance there. I mean, you got the East is, with Kyrie and KD going to Brooklyn, that increase. You got Boston, Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee. Obviously Miami, they were just in the finals, and my Pacers too. So, but if a team has a down year or an injury, that can maybe force them to not play as well as they have, or were expected to, I could see the Bulls with, like I said, I think Billy Donovan was the kind of missing piece to the Bulls. So I think even if it's the eighth seed, even if, you have to go up against the Bucks or the Nets if they get the one seed, getting that playoff experience matters. You kind of get to experience it for the first time. I know a lot of guys on that team would get to experience the playoffs for the first time. So it's important. I mean, people say, oh my God, we're just going to get the eighth seed and get swept. Okay, yeah, but with a young team like the Bulls, you need that playoff experience at least. So next time or next year, you can, if you make the playoffs again, you can say, okay, we made the playoffs last year and got swept. Now we're actually in the playoffs and we want to do something. So it's a step-by-step process, but I think the Bulls definitely could. If they're, I think they're in contention right there for that seventh or eighth spot.
All right, so let's flip it back to the Pacers here. I think I'm not even going to ask you if you think they're going to make the playoffs, because I think we're both on the same page with that they are a playoff team, barring any drastic craziness, and which could affect any of these teams, which could eventually change the landscape of the Eastern Conference. But I think it's fair to say that it's a given that the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Heat, 76ers, and Nets are going to make the playoffs. And again, that right there is literally seven out of the eight seeds. Orlando had the eighth seed. They went 33-40 last year. I always peg Orlando as being a better team roster wise than, as you know, than their results kind of indicate at the end of the season. And I know they got into the play-in, I think, tournament as well. So when we came back from the suspension, so I mean, things are kind of altered, to be fair. So maybe it's not fair to criticize the Hornets and the Wizards and even the Bulls, who didn't really get a chance. Well, the Bulls were completely out of it, only 22 wins, forget that. But at the end of the day, literally a team had went seven games under 500 and made the playoffs. So that's that's why I think there's some chances there for the Bulls, maybe if they can get their stuff together. But in terms of the Pacers, where do you think they fit into the Eastern Conference this year in terms of, you know, pitting a hopefully healthy lineup against, you know, where do they kind of stack up against teams like the Heat and Milwaukee? And I'm even going to say Brooklyn, because we're going to get our first glimpse of the Kyrie Durant era in Brooklyn. And if they somehow pull off a move to get James Harden, that's another superpowered team there, which it's already a superpowered team, but even could have be the next big three with all these teams stacking their chips on the table. Where do you think the Pacers fit in along with all these teams?
I'd like to say that we could be right around that, can maybe compete for a fourth seed, but I'd say more realistically, probably a five. I'm looking at teams like Milwaukee. I mean, Miami, they just made the finals. I mean, Boston and Brooklyn, those four alone, I think, could probably have really good seasons and finish above the Pacers. I've never been sold on Philly. I think they need – I'm not a fan of Ben Simmons because the man straight up refuses to shoot. And the Pacers have actually taken care of business against the Sixers most of the times they met. Toronto is always that team, where are they going to fit in? And I just don't know. I mean, it was impressive what they did last year and re-signing Fred VanVleet. So, and they still got Kyle Lowry there, Pascal Siakam. So, but I think the Pacers could compete with Toronto, maybe for that fifth spot. But it's, I mean, then you even look at Atlanta, that they've drastically improved their roster. So I think the Pacers probably at best would probably be fighting for a five spot. And hopefully that's the case. But the East is starting to, you know, we've talked about, oh, the Western Conference is so dominant. The East is starting to make a name for themselves and saying, hey, you know, top to bottom, we're – you know, the West out there, they've got their pretty good teams, but top to bottom, I think the East can make an argument that they're slightly above the Western Conference, but we'll see. But if I had to put, I'd say fifth seed right now, could maybe slip to a six, but anywhere probably from that 4 to 6 range, but more realistically, probably the 5 to 6 range is where I see the Pacers at.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about the 76ers. I think they made a good call with getting the coaching change, and honestly, I think Doc Rivers can do something with that team. Again, an experienced coach. He's been around teams, obviously, that have had superstar caliber players. So, you know, being able to kind of get in there and you know, mentor Embiid. And, you know, there's been a lot of thoughts and talks about maybe Simmons getting traded. And I think he's could be a legitimate trade candidate down the road and maybe very soon, depending on how, you know, the outcome of this season. And I'd actually be for it. I think that that team needs to be built around Joel Embiid. You know, now that he's kind of finally been a more healthy player, he's really excelled and it really turned into a dominant player. So that's the guy you build around. Ben Simmons. Okay, that's great that you can dribble the ball down the court and, you know, be a good athletic player. But at the end of the day, you got to make your shots. You got to dominate somehow on the court. And he doesn't. He continues to struggle, especially with shooting. Like you said, he has not developed a shot at all still. And he's been in the league enough for long enough of a time now. So the 76ers, they're one of those teams that, you know, maybe things change for them and are not as good. You know, Toronto, impressive, but they still don't have a superstar player. So are they going to continue to be as dominant as they are? We'll have to see. So I think the Pacers definitely can contend for, you know, I'll even say top four, maybe even the fourth seed. You know, Boston could be hit or miss. They have a good team and good coaching staff and whatnot, but you know, we've seen in seasons past where some of these teams with the higher expectations don't always meet them. And not that you have to be the second or third seed to have the most success in the playoffs, which it's ideal, because if you're going to be playing the Magic or the Hornets or the Bulls in the first round, that's going to be very ideal and probably more than likely an automatic first round bye. It almost is going to feel like you're going to get through with that without a problem. But let's take a look at the schedule, which, you know, was finally released recently. Now, they only came out with the first half of the schedule, which I guess is kind of smart because we're hopefully entering, you know, turning the corner around this pandemic. But, you know, we got vaccines and everything now, but we just have to still wait and see how things pan out. But I think it's good on the NBA for giving us the first half of the schedule and whatnot. And, oh, boy, let me tell you, I think I'd rather be a Pacers fan for the first half of the year, man, because the Bulls, you know, they start the season off against Atlanta next Wednesday. So a week from today, as of us recording this podcast. So we're almost there. They do start the season at home, which is great. But it's Atlanta, then the Pacers. So we got some trash talking early this year between you and I. And then it's the Warriors with, you know, Steph Curry coming back. Two games against the Wizards and then the Bucks and then Dallas, Portland, Sacramento, and then facing off against both LA teams. And that's just through January 10th. You know, and I'm just nonchalantly saying it because it's like, a lot of these are teams that are really good. So it's going to be a tough start to the schedule for the Bulls. It's a tough start to the season because, you know, again, when you're a young team, when you're trying to find your way, and Billy Donovan, I mean, to be fair, these are going to be his first couple of games actually coaching this roster in a legit, you know, every game matters situation. So this is where I'm worried about them having a chance to make the playoffs, because I really think this first half of the season is going to be like this, the first month and a half, December and January are really going to be rough, because it's not going to be until February where you start having the easy ones where it's like two games against the Knicks, two games against the Magic. You know, then you got the Wizards, you know, teams like them that they have a better chance against. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that brutal start to the schedule. Again, Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, your Pacers, Steph Curry's return, and of course the new look Atlanta Hawks, some really promising upcoming teams there. Do you think it could be a rough start for the Bulls, just like I'm thinking, or do you have more hope than me?
I mean, yeah, that's, you talked about that schedule, is it's not quite the, not, I mean, you have Billy Donovan in your first year, so he's not going to ease into the job per se, but I mean, the Hawks, like we talked about, got Danilo Gallinari, Trae Young. They made some good offseason adjustments. Then, like you said, the Pacers. Washington will be interesting. I mean, they added Russell Westbrook and they got Bradley Beal still. So, but I'm not for sure how they'll gel quite there. But then you talked about that brutal I mean, yeah, I'm just looking at the schedule like you are. Milwaukee, Dallas, Portland, Sacramento, Los Angeles, both LA teams, Boston, OKC, Dallas, Houston, and then get a reprieve with Charlotte, and then Los Angeles, Boston again. That is in a span of, that's from right around January 1st, the entire month of January just does not treat you guys well. So it's going to be a test for Billy Donovan. And I'll say this is, even in, if this, in this first year, if he doesn't, you know, put up big win numbers, I wouldn't freak out, because I mean, you look at the schedule and you're like, we're still growing as a young team. We're still trying to develop our young guys and everyone like that. And then you throw a schedule like this at them. I'll say this, they'll be tested for sure. And it, I think in the long run, it could pay off to play these tough teams. But yeah, you're right. The schedule does not do you guys any favors, in the, at least in the first half. Maybe the second half will be a bit easier, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But you know what? I really like your answer, because I think you bring up some stuff that's more important than my thought process here of, oh, you know, I'd love to see him make the playoffs again. Because I do truly think that contending for the playoffs, playing hard, trying to instill a winning culture by actually wanting to win and not just tanking and letting games go here and there by the wayside, I think that's truly good growth and development for your team as a whole, your young players, even your coach, and just getting this your team to mesh and form together into hopefully a strong, you know, playoff contending team down the road. And once you get out of the rebuild, but what you bring up in terms of, you know, it's going to be tough, but getting that experience and playing against these teams, you know, it's going to test their mettle, but at the end of the day, it is another good way of trying to get better and grow and develop as soon as you can, because, you know, you have to play up to the competition of the Warriors to beat them. Your Pacers, you got to play up to the competition to beat them in that second game of the season. So I think you bring up some good points where it's, there's more than just trying to win to make the playoffs to, you know, the growth and development to a young team like this. So how about your Pacers though? I mean, I'm looking at the first couple of games here, you know, the Knicks, the Bulls, two games against the Celtics, the Cavaliers, the Knicks again, Pelicans, Houston, the Suns, Sacramento. You know, looking at, you know, there's, I think the season starts to get a little bit tougher as it progresses, but it looks like those first couple of weeks could be ideal for the Pacers for a start. So looking at them, and again, in a season where we're kind of getting back to normal, but still some unknowns just on how COVID's going to affect teams playing in their stadiums again, and not knowing what that second half of the schedule might look like, and a crowded Eastern Conference in terms of, you kind of know who your playoff teams are going to be. You just don't know how the seeding is going to line up. How important is it for the Pacers to start the season off strongly and on the right foot in terms for the sake of being up there in the standings at, you know, by the time the season's near its end?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important. The Pacers have had in years past that, and I mean, you can probably tell this about a lot of teams, or there are some teams out there, but the Pacers seem to lose a handful of games each year where you're like, really? How on earth did you lose to X? Or how on earth did you lose to, for example, if the Pacers go out opening night and lay an egg against the Knicks, I'm not going to hit the panic button, but I'm not going to be too happy, because the Knicks, I'm sorry, are a team that the Pacers should beat. And I'm even going to say by double digits. So, I mean, then you look at I think the Pacers could easily start their year 4-2. The two games against Boston, I like it right off the bat. We're going to play against a tough Boston team, so it'll be fun to, you know, kind of see where we're at with that. But, I mean, even if you drop both, the Knicks, the Bulls, the Cavs, and the Knicks again, you should win. Pelicans, we'll see. That'll be difficult, you know, dealing with Zion. But then you talked about near the mid of January. It could start, honestly, with that Pelicans game on the January 4th, After that, on January 4th, they have the Pelicans. Then they play the Rockets, Suns. Then, just like you, every team in the East seems to go on a brutal, you know, Western Conference road trip. And here it is for the Pacers: at the Kings, at Golden State, at Portland, at Phoenix, at the Clippers. Then we get Dallas back at home. So that'll be a key stretch. You know, Phoenix has made some really good moves with bringing in Chris Paul, and they got Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. Obviously, Portland, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum. Then we all know about Golden State with Steph Curry. So that'll be a challenging road trip. But I think if the Pacers can get off to, like I said, that good start, which I think they can easily go 4-2 in their first six games, that'll allow you some wiggle room to, you know, if you hit a bump, if you lose three of five at one point, if you, you know, go on a 3-4 game skid or something like that, you'll have some wiggle room with the good start that the Pacers will hopefully get out to.
All right. So two more things I want to touch on here as we start wrapping up the podcast. One more look at the Central Division as a whole here. It's looking like it's going to be a division that's battled out between Milwaukee and Indiana, because you look at the Cavaliers, they're in the same spot as the Bulls in terms of rebuilding. They didn't exactly have the greatest, I think, you know, drafting Isaac Okoro was solid, and they have a solid combination of young guys and veterans. You know, Kevin Love's still there. Andre Drummond, I think, always an overlooked player with his rebounding ability, but they got young guys in Colin Sexton, Darius Garland. And then again, you bring in Okoro. A nice combination there. I was telling Yash when I had him on a couple of weeks ago, I really do like the progress and the team building that the Cavaliers have. Now, I don't think, you know, acquiring JaVale McGee is exactly the prized free agent acquisition that you want, but I guess you kind of got to live with that when you're still a rebuilding team. And then you have the Pistons, who everybody is high, including the team itself, with Killian Hayes, the point guard they drafted, who has even overtaken Derrick Rose and appears to be the starting point guard when the season starts here in about a week. That's a team that's been making a lot of moves. Not exactly, again, picking up that superstar player, but some solid draft picks and some guys that look like they're going to be some solid young guys to hopefully grow and continue to grow and develop that team. Still not sure if they're a playoff team. And then, of course, you got the Bulls, where I'm hoping they can make the playoffs. They have a roster that could keep them relevant, but I'm just not sure if they're there yet to take that step. So at the end of the day, it appears to be Indiana and Milwaukee vying for that Central Division champ title. And again, more than likely one of the higher seeds in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Do you think the Pacers have enough to take on the Bucks for the Central Division, which, again, and let me throw out there too, as I'm reviewing all these teams off seasons. Giannis just signed a 5-year, $228 million contract, I think, extension. Yeah. So Hilly's going to be there for a long time. He's happy now. And they also did a kind of a roster rehaul with acquiring, you know, Drew Holiday to come play, signed Bobby Portis. They've cut ties with guys they don't need anymore, like Kyle Korver or Robin Lopez, but really got him another star power player in Drew Holiday, which even you have said is a top 10 point guard in this league. So it's going to be a tough task, but do you think the Pacers have a chance of winning this division?
I will unfortunately say no. I just think Milwaukee's too good. You talk about the Pacers. Well, I mean, we'll see them four times a year, as everyone will in the Central. So we get a good look at them. But, I mean, when you got a superstar player like Giannis, then you bring in, like we were talking before the show, no offense to Eric Bledsoe, but Drew Holiday is, talk about another elite scorer. Then you already have Chris Middleton. I think those are three guys right there that could just go off on any night for Milwaukee. And Giannis he's a freight train. And people don't talk about this. He's slowly improving, unlike Ben Simmons. He's at least trying to shoot. And he took, I believe it was right around four and a half threes a game last year. Only shot right around 30%. But you see him slowly starting to improve his shooting. And if he can get it, if he can even make him at, 32-33% and say, you know what? You have to guard me from the 3-point line too. We know he can blow past anybody. So he can be a really, it's scary to think that Giannis can get any better, but he could. And I just think when you look at it, Milwaukee, they're one of the best teams in the league to begin with. And I think they could very well get the first seed again in the East, or definitely a top two probably. So fortunately for the Pacers, they've had their rough go of it dealing with Giannis, because we just really don't know who to put on him. So I would probably say the Pacers finished second in the Central Division.
Well, hey, if you want to pick up a couple more matchups against the Bucks this year, I'd be more than happy to give you like two or three so the Bulls don't have to get demolished by them. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. Thanks, though.
Yeah, I don't blame you, because you're probably thinking the same thing as I am. Yeah, I'd rather not have to deal with that team. But before we wrap up, I think this is probably one of the biggest questions that really not just Pacers fans the most, but I think everybody, even the Bulls, would like to know what's going to happen with this guy and the Pacers. But a lot of talk over the last couple of months with Victor Oladipo in terms of there being rumors about him saying, I want out of Indiana. A lot of questions, will the Pacers re-sign him? Because, he's viewed as the number one player. He's the leader, the heart and soul of that team. And the guy that people credit a lot to kind of kicking off this resurgence of, we got rid of Paul George, it's not the end of the world. And, Oladipo, as we know, kept that team afloat, and they've built a lot of stuff around him. But he's a foundational piece. Kind of a two-part question here. First part, do you buy into these so-called rumors of Oladipo wanting to leave or telling other players like, hey, yeah, I want to team up with you or something? And two, do you think the Pacers will sign him long term, or even should they?
This, I tell you what, it's been a very, there's two sides to this, obviously, for Pacers fans. Half of them, then they seem to be split right down the middle. Some want him gone and say good riddance, it was nice. But other fans, and I've kind of fallen into this, I want Vic to stay. I mean, he's a rare, and we don't see this often, he played college basketball at IU. He gets to play for his hometown team in the Pacers. And I've had this mantra for a while with all these rumors been swirling around. Until I hear it from, it's a handful of people. The first would be Victor Oladipo himself. Second would be Kevin Pritchard. And then obviously now it'd be Nate Bjorkman. But I believe Vic is staying unless one of those three people come out and say otherwise. The contract is, it's a glaring thing that needs to be addressed, but I think we let Vic play out this season, show how healthy he is with his knee, and then go from there. I don't want to break the bank for him, because this team has played well in his absence, but at the same time, I don't want to lose him, to, let's just say, a Golden State, a Lakers, a big time championship contending team. I don't want him to lose, the Pacers to lose him to that either. So it's a heated debate among Pacers fans, but in my gut, I want him to stay. I think he does. For the love of God, he did, and is in his first year here, and it's been kind of patented among him, among Pacers fans as well, the finger pointing down, saying, this is my city. I just don't understand why he would, show that much emotion on the court, show a lot of great – he's been a great teammate too, I think, mentoring some of these young guys, Aaron Holiday, Goga Batase. I don't think he would, hopefully, throw all that away. But, you know, I could be wrong. But my gut tells me that Vic remains a Pacer for hopefully the foreseeable future.
I think it's in his best interest to stay, honestly, Cody. I mean, I don't if he was to leave Indiana, somebody would sign him without a doubt. Like, this isn't like a risk to, in order to keep his career going, should he stay in Indiana or move on. Somebody will sign him. But will he be the number one guy like he is in Indiana at someplace else? Like, I don't think so. I think it's fair to say we all recognize that Oladipo is a really solid player, but ideally, I think Indiana would benefit from getting another star caliber player, you know, like, you know, whether you're trying to acquire maybe a star point guard to pair alongside him, or you're trying to go get, you know, a really superstar type of forward. I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do, but I think it's fair to say that Indiana probably needs another guy of his of Oladipo's caliber, or maybe even a little bit more, to maybe take this team to that final step. But I think it's worth him sticking around, because the Pacers are a great team. It's a great story. I mean, yeah, he's playing for his hometown, but also, again, you get to be that guy. You get to get a good contract. And you've heard me say this a million times, Cody, so I'm sorry you have to hear it again. I'm sorry everybody has to hear me say this, because anytime I talk about the NBA and I talk about anything to do with the Eastern Conference, I always include into the conversation, why would you want to go anywhere else but the East? You should be James Harden. If he's leaving Houston, he should go. He should be like, I need to go to an Eastern team right now. The Eastern Conference is up for the taking. There's still questions to be answered in terms of, can the Heat continue what they did last year? Okay, we know Milwaukee is a powerhouse. Well, Milwaukee, you know, they kind of crapped the bed at the end of last season. They did not play well in the playoffs. Giannis struggled, but they've made some hardcore changes. Why would you would be dumb, in my opinion, to want to go to the West unless you've already been there or you're stuck in the West. The Eastern Conference, in my opinion, is still up for grabs and for the taking. So why not stay, and why not maybe try to work on acquiring another star talented player, hopefully down the road, while keeping Oladipo? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would be, I think it's in his best interest to stay, and we'll see. He doesn't appear to be unhappy. I don't really buy into the rumors, even as a Bulls fan. It's like, I bring up the question because I think Bulls fans would like to know what happens to him, because Oladipo and the Pacers have had some really good matchups the last couple of years with the Bulls. Unfortunately, as a Bulls fan here, I've seen Oladipo hit some really big shots and close out some games for you guys. But, you know, that's why it's important to talk about the stars.
I was at that game where he made his comeback. And tied up the game, sent it overtime, and the Pacers ended up winning. I mean, that's been one of the craziest games I've been to. And then, so now it had to be against the Bulls. I'm sorry, Will, but.
And it's funny, that's the specific game that's like etched in my mind and why I bring that up. So,
yeah, but that reaction at Bankers Life Fieldhouse that night was something I'll probably never forget. It was a truly special night. And hopefully he can make more memories like that, you know, if he stays.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another integral part of a number one player on a team, too, is you got to be able to be clutch. You got to be able to make impact plays and impact shots. And Oladipo has proven that. There's not really many question marks left on him as a player. So, but anyways, that about does it. Cody, thank you so much for coming on. I know we're going to be doing another podcast. You're probably going to get you and the rest of the Beyond the Press Box clan in here. We're going to be talking about a nice like round table discussion, I like to call a little panel where Zach's going to be raging about the college football playoffs, and should they be upgraded, you know, a bigger bracket, there need to be rule changes and whatnot. So that's a little preview of what's to come next with more than likely everybody from the Beyond the Press Box cast. So Cody, thanks again for coming on. Always enjoy talking to you. I'm sure I'll have you on again too for some more basketball coverage once the season gets rolling. So, and thank you to everybody for listening. Remember, check out this podcast on anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Literally go to Google and search Windy City Sports Talk or Beyond the Press Box too to get all of your fixings and for sports podcasts, whether it's mine or with Cody, Yash, and Zach. So thanks again, Cody, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one of Windy City Sports Talk.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. You can find more episodes on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, be well.